9 o'clock. Thanks for joining us. Jim and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. It's Mav Day. We talk with Colorado Mesa coaches and athletes. Coming up, we'll talk with Maverick outfielder Julian Boyd. Also, the skipper himself, head coach Chris Hanks, and Troy Moyer, the head coach of the CMU men's lacrosse team. You can text or call us today on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, 970-242-1340. All right, time to talk a little Maverick baseball. He is from Los Angeles, California, senior outfielder for the Mavericks, currently fifth in the RMAC in batting average at .442. Julian Boyd joins us. Julian, appreciate the time. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing well, Julian. And I've had the chance to watch you play the last couple of seasons. And I tell you what, man, your speed, you're just, it's just such a tough guy when you get on the base paths, stolen bases, your ability to leg out an infield hit. But this year, man, you've been hitting the ball with some power as well, hitting .442. But talk about your arm a little bit, because, man, I love it when guys try to run on you. It's a lot of fun seeing you throw guys out.
Well, I have to say, I didn't put in as much hard work with my arm as I have on other parts of my game. Luckily, I was blessed since a kid. Actually, my tryouts for my football team at 6 years old, I wanted to play running back. And when they saw me throw, they didn't let me at all. It made me play quarterback. So I was kind of just blessed with the arm.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, there's you're accurate. You got an extremely strong arm as well. Jeff Rogers ever say, hey, Julian, you know, late innings, how'd you like to get on the bump and go out and close out a game for us? And not that Anthony Durbano hasn't been outstanding for you guys in that regard, but if I'm Jeff, I'm a little tempted to see what you could do on the bump.
Yeah, actually, it's been brought up a couple of times, but I don't trust my abilities that much on the mound. I won't lie. And, luckily, we do have guys like Durbano who we're confident in them closing the door. So I don't think I'm much needed.
Yeah, they need your skills at the plate. They need your skills out there playing right field and in the job that you do out there. Julian Boyd joining us today. Played at Golden West College before coming to Colorado Mesa. Julian, take us through the journey of making the decision to come and play in Grand Junction for Coach Hanks and CMU.
I had a lot of schools in California that were willing to let me come to their school. But after looking at the track record of Colorado Mesa for the 20-plus years that Coach Hanks has been here, it was a pretty easy decision. Got on the phone with Coach McKinney, and he talked about their records, and it was almost a no-brainer. I love winning, and that's what's fun. So it was a really easy decision to come here.
Was there one thing that Coach Sean said to you that really stuck with you that said, okay, that's the thing that clinches it for me? I'm going to go to Grand Junction play for the Mavericks?
The fact that he said it wasn't too cold was it definitely sold me there. It is a little colder than I thought it would be, but he definitely sold me once he talked about how nice the weather is out here and things of such in Colorado. So once I realized it wasn't too cold, that was definitely something that sold me.
Well, you shouldn't have listened to Coach McKinney about the weather. He's from Wyoming. Of course it's warmer here. And compared to California, though, yeah, it's a little bit chillier here in Grand Junction than it is out in Los Angeles, California. We're talking with Julian Boyd, Maverick outfielder, who's fifth right now in batting average at .442 in the RMAC. Like you said, you've worked in other parts of your game. You have a tremendous arm. We've seen that over the course of your time here in Grand Junction. But what's take us through the work that you put in at the plate to get where you're at right now, because you're having a sensational offensive season, Julian.
Thank you. Since I've gotten here, Coach Hanks has took some time to really work with me on certain things, especially in my lower half, to make me more explosive at the plate. So it was really just taking the time every day to work on what Coach Hanks has worked on me with. And also a huge part for me has been the mental game. So just reading books and watching videos online of how players go about their mental game, because baseball isn't just physical. So I think the biggest jump for me was what Coach Hanks has worked on me with, as well as the mental game, which has helped me just expand my game and become a tougher out at the plate.
We're talking with Maverick senior outfielder Julian Boyd joining us today on the Team Sports Network. And that had to be a thrill for you guys, for you to be part of some history for Coach Hanks, Julian, when he picked up win number 1,000. That's just an incredible accomplishment for any baseball coach. And you and your teammates helping to make that happen this last weekend over at Cuddleberry Christian.
Yes, that's actually a big deal. Yeah, we've talked about it a lot. We're just really happy to be a part of history. And Coach Hanks, he's really humble, almost too humble. I actually told him yesterday he needs to toot his horn a little bit. This is an accomplishment that many people will never see, and I think he should be very proud of that.
When you look at last year's team, which, look, this team was loaded offensively. Hayden McGeary, National Player of the Year, Spencer Bramwell, Caleb Farmer, Jordan Stubbings, and all those guys gone. And you're one of the returning guys, along with Conrad Villafuerte, Harrison Rogers, that have had to kind of pick up the mantle this year offensively. And so far, the numbers may not reflect what those guys were able to do, Julian, but boy, you guys have done a sensational job of helping to fill that offensive void left by those really talented players.
Absolutely. I think a lot of that comes down to hard work. These guys, especially some of these new guys, as Paul Schoenfield, Kobe Felix, some of the freshmen, Kennedy Hara, Jonathan Gonzalez, a lot of these guys work really hard, and every day they're at the field early, staying late, really working hard, and I think hard work will produce good results every time.
And I think that it speaks to the tradition that's now at Colorado Mason, has been there for a long time, Julian, of you can lose those kind of players, particularly a guy like McGeary. And here you are, first place in the RMAC, looking for yet another RMAC regular season title. And it just speaks to the depth of the program and the consistency and the culture that Coach Hanks has set for you guys to lose those kind of players. But here you are, familiar territory, number one team right now in the RMAC.
Yeah, it's honestly amazing to see what Coach Hanks, Coach Rogers, and Coach McKinney have done over these years. It's almost incredible how something like this is even sustainable. And obviously with the work that we're putting in as seniors and the leadership that was passed down to us and we continue to pass down, hopefully it just continues to keep going. But like I said, it's amazing what these coaches have done to just be so consistent with this program. It should really be talked about more than it is.
Okay, let's go back to this past weekend. Of course, history made with Coach Hanks getting win number 1,000. That was extremely important, and we'll talk with him coming up about that. But you're also part of history. The most runs scored in a Maverick baseball game. 38-1 over Colorado Christian, a team that I believe took 3 out of 4 against you guys last year. You get the sweep this past weekend. I mean, what was that like? That'd be like playing the show on rookie mode or something like that. 38-1, you guys beat Colorado Christian. They said that a record for the Maverick program in terms of runs in the game. What was it like to play in that contest?
It was a lot of fun. I think that shows how much depth we have. You can put in some guys that have played the bench or some guys that haven't played at all and let them showcase their talent. And like I said, a lot of teams don't have the depth like that. You put in the backups and you might see a fall off, but I think sometimes we can even increase when we put in some guys that haven't played as much. So it just it shows the depth that we have and how we play the game. And like I said, it was a lot of fun. A win by one or a win by 37, it's always a blast.
Yeah, I think Colorado Christian, they might disagree on how much fun that game was, but for you guys, it was a blast to roll them 38-1. We're talking with Maverick senior outfielder Julian Boyd with us today on the Team Sports Network. Are you still majoring in sociology? I know sometimes I look at the bio, and some of the athletes will say, "Well, no, I'm not actually majoring in that anymore." Are you still majoring in sociology, Julian?
No, I'm actually majoring in sports management now.
Okay, so what's the goal for you obviously you'd like your baseball career to continue on past your time at CMU, but what's the goal of a sports management degree for you?
Honestly, don't tell Coach Hank this, but it would be nice to replace him one day. I love the game. I love leading people, and I would love to be a head coach. Like I said, I love this game, and that's what I see. That's what I see my calling is. I feel like my calling on this earth is to serve, and I don't know a better job for me than to serve kids through this game.
Yeah, Hanks is getting old. It's 1,000 wins. You know, McKinney's got Orion. He's going to be busy at home. Why not? Right. Jeff's probably got other plans down the road here. Retirement on the horizon. Why not you, right? Why not Julian Boyd to lead the Mavericks?
I think so. Shoot. And if you ask some of the guys that have been here while I played, I think they might agree too. A lot of fun.
Well, I think for you, if like I said, moving on in a professional baseball career doesn't work out, maybe being part of this coaching staff at some point, that'd be a pretty cool thing to learn from Coach Hanks and Coach McKinney and Coach Rogers and get that opportunity maybe someplace down the road.
Absolutely. I'm an open book every time I talk to any of these coaches. So joining this staff would be amazing, but also if I was able to take what I've learned here and put it somewhere else, I think that would be monumental as well. What has been done here cannot be duplicated, but it would be nice to just take some things from this program and pour it into a new one.
Julian Boyd joining us today on the Team Sports Network. Your bio says that you're related to the Baltimore Orioles' Dylan Tate. Can you talk about that a little bit, about the connection there, and has he provided some insight, some guidance for you?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's my big cousin. We've been playing video games together since about 2007, 2006. We've been competing against each other for that long. He's been a huge part of my success, and he's a pitcher. So just off the knowledge that he has, the experience, some of the things he's seen as a Major League Baseball player has been huge. And he's always a phone call away, which is a blessing to me. Sometimes we'll FaceTime, and he'll be at Fenway Park and just give me a tour. So I'm lucky to have him as a cousin and let him be a phone call away, and he's been a huge part of my success.
Julian Boyd joining us on the Jim Davis Show. When you talk with him, is it more like words he says that you listen to and apply to yourself, or just kind of the fact that it's a dude you share blood with that's in the majors? If he can do it, I can do it. Which one do you get more from overall from your cousin?
Honestly, I would have to say it's a balance. He's probably the hardest worker that I've seen in terms of this sport. So he can show me what hard work looks like. When I feel like I'm doing enough, he shows me that I could do more. But also, he has shown me that it is possible. And we faced each other before, and he struck me out, but it definitely showed me that I do belong, and I can compete at the highest level. So I feel like there is a balance in there.
Mavericks outfielder Julian Boyd with us today on the Team Sports Network. You talked about you and Dylan and playing video games for so many years ago. You still enjoy playing video games. Is it Call of Duty? What is it right now for you, Julian, when you do get that chance, maybe on a road trip, in a little downtime? What video games are you into right now?
Actually, I play MLB The Show a lot. I can't get away from this game. So, yeah, I play MLB The Show a lot. Actually, the new one just came out last night. So, I might have stayed up longer than the coaches would like, enjoying the first night of the game. But I have a blast, and I got to play with a couple of my teammates, so it's always a good time with that.
Chris is coming on soon. We won't say a word about it to him. We won't say anything about it, Julian. I hope you enjoyed playing the show last night, man. Hey, I appreciate you coming on our show today. Thanks, Julian. Appreciate love watching you play. And, of course, Mavericks have Regis coming up this Friday for a four-game series. We'll have the first game coming up this Friday. Pre-game right around 5:50 on the team CMU Sports Network. Julian Boyd, appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys for having me.
Take care. Julian Boyd, your next Maverick baseball coach. I like it. Already calling his shot.
Yeah. Already putting the old man on the clock is what it sounded like.
No kidding.
No,
hey,
I'm just kidding.
Hope you enjoyed win number 1,000.
Yeah. It's coming for McKinney's job. It's really
weird. Yeah, probably so.
Yeah. First.
I think Julian, just if a professional baseball career doesn't work out, would just like to be part of the staff here. I think he'd like to start small.
Yeah, exactly.
But if they want to offer him Chris's job, he'll take it. He will not turn it down. All right, 9:15. Speaking of the man, he's not a myth, but he is a legend. And that would be Chris Hanks. He'll be joining us coming up in just a moment as we continue on with Mav Day here on the Team Sports Network.
Touchdown every morning.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, the Team.
Welcome back to the Jim Davis Show. Buckeye and Jim with you here on a Tuesday. It's Mav Day. We're currently trying to track down the skipper. Well, skipper for now, right, if we're talking about Julian Boyd. Well, no, the skipper, Chris Hanks, currently efforting to nail down the skipper. As we talked with Julian Boyd, we'll have CMU men's lacrosse coach Troy Moyer coming up in just a little bit. We'll have him this morning as part of Mav Day as we wrap it up in a little bit. Men's lacrosse team picking up a nice 15-8 win at Palm Beach Atlantic University on Wednesday. Now it's RMAC play. They get Westminster coming up on Saturday. Both the men and the women are at home against the Griffins, with the women noon, men at 3 on Saturday for men's lacrosse.
All right, so we're trying to find Chris Hanks.
Yep, working on it.
Just shot him a text.
Efforting.
Strongly striving.
Yep.
That kind of thing. So, it was fun talking with Julian Boyd.
Yeah,
he's
a good chat.
What a character. What a good dude. So, don't forget the Mavericks. That first game is 6:05 this Friday. Voice permitting, I'll be doing that with Ethan Jordan as they start up that series with Regis. So, anyways, you had some thoughts about NCAA basketball tournament. Charles Barkley, what Barkley had to say about not needing Congress or the president to be involved in name, image, likeness, because Charlie Baker, new president of the NCAA, thinks that Congress needs to get involved. The president needs to get involved. Text or call 970-242-1340.
All those people have plenty of real, honest-to-goodness, real-world problems that they're not fixing. Why do they need to not fix college basketball while they're at it? You know what I mean? I don't have confidence that anybody there is going to get it done.
Or to fix name, image, likeness in general.
Right.
And I get it with Barkley. There's a little bit of, he wants players to be more loyal to programs.
There's a little bit of a show to Chuck. Chuck's pretty much a show.
Chuck is, yeah, I think so. I love Charles Barkley, but there's also, there's the brand that is Charles Barkley.
He's a brand. He's the Charles Barkley show.
Though I do think the brand of Charles Barkley is, this is what I think, either you like it or you don't, and I don't care if you don't.
Agreed.
Kevin Durant, after watching the 60 Minutes piece, because there's a, it was a comment that Barkley made about Durant. Their feud has been long, because Barkley talked about players of Durant's era being too thin-skinned. Is Chuck right about that? I think there is a level of, Barkley is right about that.
Yeah.
Guys do tend to, if you question them at all, question their motives, question their play. And Aaron Rodgers kind of fits into this whole thing, too.
Oh, 100%.
Of how dare you question anything I do. How I play, what I say, how dare you question it.
No, I agree with that 100%. There is a part to these athletes to where they feel that any criticism of their play is, they all take it personally.
Exactly.
And that's fine if you want to take it personally, but that's a you problem, not a Chuck problem, right? Like, the fact that Kevin Durant takes all of the criticism personally and has Twitter burner accounts to push back on people, that's not a people problem. That's a KD issue. Not, people don't like criticism. I love constructive criticism. No, you don't.
No, you don't.
You use it. Doesn't mean you like it. You appreciate it. Doesn't mean you like it, right? Somebody telling me how I could do better at my job from somebody that would know goes a lot longer than somebody that wouldn't. And that's any job.
Agreed.
My criticism of Kevin Durant, roll off his shoulders. Charles Barkley, Hall of Famer, Dream Team, NBA Finals, NBA MVP. If he says, hey, man, you probably need to get a little bit thicker skin or just don't listen to all of this stuff. That's probably something that Kevin Durant should take a little more seriously. But for Kevin Durant to get mad about it, that's not Charles's fault. And that goes into the, if you get mad, I don't care, Charles Barkley persona. It's not his fault.
Right.
Unless he just comes out and insults Kevin Durant. And it kind of fades into that territory a little bit. Sometimes Barkley is more insulting than instructive. But for the players of Rodgers, LeBron, Durant, anybody, saying you need to be better at X situation in your profession, from analysts, which that's their job, you don't have to take that personally. If you choose to, that's not the person giving the criticism's fault.
And what Barkley said in the 60 Minutes interview was that he thinks that the Durant is overly sensitive. And Durant tweeted back, This ain't getting tiring, Chuck. I'll never expect the words that come out of your mouth. Just deal with it. And here's what Barkley said. He's very sensitive, great player. He's part of that generation who thinks he can't be criticized. Barkley is a 13-time NBA All-Star, by the way. There's skins on that wall. There's success in that resume. And I just think in the case of Kevin Durant, he is of a generation where, I'm not trying to be the old guy, get off my lawn guy, because you're 40,
mm-hmm.
and you're closer to Durant's age.
Yeah.
And you feel like he's too thin-skinned.
Yeah.
And there are guys like him that are too thin-skinned.
I definitely agree that he should be a little bit thicker-skinned. Because even going back to his Warriors days, which is now longer ago than I would like to acknowledge. Remember the KD burner accounts? He would have burner accounts on Twitter so he could push back against people. Strangers, random people criticizing him. Like, at least now he's doing it himself, which is a little bit better.
Which is what you should do.
You know, but, like, there would be random fans saying stuff about Kevin Durant. He would be on one of his burners. Like, oh, this is blah, 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 blah. Like, come on, man. Really?
Man,
you're letting that much get to you?
Yeah, some guy in Oakland's criticizing you or wherever because you missed a shot last night. So you're going to be so
right.
You're going to take to Twitter to under a burner account to rip him?
Yeah.
Come on. All right, still trying to reach Chris Hanks. So what I thought we would do, bring back our conversation with Ben Sampson, national swimming champion over at Colorado Mesa. Here's Ben Sampson. 1340. All right, to wrap up the show today, he's a two-time national swimming champion, the first ever in Maverick men's swimming history. Ben Sampson joins us on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line. Ben, thanks for coming on this morning.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Two-time national champion. Obviously a culmination of a dream for you, a goal that you set out when you came from Ralston Valley to swim at Colorado Mesa. How does that feel? How does it sound to be a two-time national champion? How does that sound on your ears?
It sounds great. I mean, it was It was a crazy meet, and I'm just happy with the results. So, yeah.
You take the championship and the 200-yard individual medley, the 200 backstroke. When you claim that first championship, become the first Maverick male swimmer to win a national championship, what was, when you touched out of the pool, what was the first thought, and you knew you won, what was the first thought that came into your mind?
Oh, it was, honestly, I was in shock for a while, and then it was just relief. I came into the meet seated first, and I wanted to get the first one out of the way with a win, and so I was just so happy. Everyone came up to me and was super happy for me too, so the support was just insane.
I mean, for you, I mean, this was an expectation. This was not an incredible underdog kind of thing. I mean, you were expected to accomplish this, and you ended up being an All-American. You competed in seven events. You won two national championships, an All-American in all seven events you competed in. I mean, you went to Indianapolis expecting this kind of result, didn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, in my mind, I thought I could win four, and I'm very happy with two, so it's even more motivation for next year.
Ben Sampson, redshirt sophomore from Ralston Valley High School over in Denver. He is the first ever Maverick men's national champion in the pool. Of course, Mar Hassan won multiple championships in diving. Isaiah Cheeks also capturing a national diving championship as well. But as far as swimmers, Lily Borgenheimer, your teammate from the women's team, won a national championship last year, came so close to getting her second, just, what, 0.4 of a second out of first place to win her second national championship. Did you talk to Lily at all about now being co-national champions or being both having a national championship on your mantle?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. Like, we've been talking about it for a while, and, you know, just kind of observing what she does to become a national champion and kind of emulating that in my own practices. So she's definitely helped a lot, and just seeing how she carries herself and stuff. So she's happy for me, though.
Ben Sampson, two-time national swimming champion for Colorado Mesa, with us on the Team Sports Network. What are some things, Ben, that you learned from Lily in her, of course, accomplishing the goal of winning a national championship last year? What are some things you took away from her regimen, her practice schedule, what she did to get herself in that position? What are some things you learned from her?
I mean, really, it's just like the drive and dedication and practice, the focus, the intensity. Definitely unlike many of our teammates, because she's just super, super focused the entire time, and it's hard to do that. I struggle with that. And I'm a national championship, and I'm struggling with that a lot. And just watching her, you know, be able to put her head down and focus and do her job in the pool. So definitely learned a lot from her.
When you go back to when you competed in high school, Ralston Valley, youth swimming, those kind of things, Ben, who kind of, what coaches, what individuals kind of helped mold you to get to this point where you could win two national championships?
I mean, there's been so many. You know, my high school coach, Gail Schurz, she definitely taught the intensity that I have now. Before that, I was pretty relaxed and, you know, just kind of did whatever. And then, of course, you know, when I got here, my coaches here really stepped it up. I didn't know a ton about swimming, really, until I got here. So they really, you know, put all the pieces together for me to do this.
Maverick men finished fifth in the team standings. And I think to see, you know, because I've lived here a long time, when they built El Pomar and Auditorium, the start of the swim program, all those things, to see where the Maverick swim program is now. You know, there was 21 Mavericks. You were among them that earned at least one first-team All-America honor this past weekend at the D2 National Championships in Indianapolis. I mean, to see where this program is right now in the D2 landscape, this is one of the very best programs in Division II swimming, and to be part of that has to be just incredible, along with winning an individual, you know, two individual national championships, Ben, but the team part of it, which we don't probably talk about enough when it comes to swimming, because it's such an individual sport, but there is that team component. To be part of that success has to be thrilling as well for you, maybe equally as thrilling as winning a couple of national championships.
Absolutely. I mean, my freshman year, there were three of us going to nationals, and just the fact that we had a whole team there. We had like 30-something people. And I reflected upon that with, you know, the two other guys that are with me. And just being able to help build this into what it is now, it means more to me than winning a national championship. And, you know, hopefully we'll just get better.
Ben Sampson, two-time national swim championship for Colorado Mesa, with us today on the Team Sports Network. And obviously the goal, Ben, is get back to Indy next year, do it again, and maybe come back with the four that you were looking for this time, and just having that continued success.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, we're just getting started, so we'll see where it takes us.
What does the offseason look for you from a swimming standpoint? You know, we hear about it with the guys that play stick and ball sports, what an offseason looks like for them. What about for a swimmer? What does that look like for you? How do you keep yourself sharp, ready for when the season rolls around?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to take my 2 weeks. Everyone gets 2 weeks. And, you know, I got in the pool yesterday, but, you know, next week I'll really take a week off. And then back in it, back into doubles, back into training. You know, we have the option to just do an hour and a half a day. But, you know, to get better, especially at this sport, you really got to throw everything in. You know, I'll do some long course meets, hopefully get my Olympic trials cuts this summer. And, you know, by then we'll be back in the pool.
Ben Sampson with us today on the Team Sports Network. What are you going to do with that week away from the pool? What do you do to kind of decompress a little bit, enjoy the success, enjoy the championships, but also an outlet that you have, Ben, that's away from the pool that allows you to kind of you know, get that mental break from swimming and the grind, but you know, it kind of helps, I guess, be a pleasant distraction for you during that period of time. Is there something on your plate that you do?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to Mexico with all my friends, so I'm just going to lay on a beach and not think about swimming for a week and just relax, and it's going to be super fun.
I imagine you'll probably get in the water just a little bit, though, right? Just a little bit?
Yeah, Mexico. No, yeah, I'll probably be in the water a couple of days for sure.
All right, that's Ben Sampson, national swim champion for the Colorado Mesa Mavericks, the Maverick men getting their first ever national champion in the pool and swimming. Congratulations to him. And trying to track down Chris Hanks, might be tomorrow when we get Chris on the program, but Maverick baseball team getting ready to host Regis coming up this weekend over at the Diamond at the Bergman Sports Complex. Text or call us 970-242-1340. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. And let's go to the text line for just a moment. Got one from Jim. Good morning, distinguished gentlemen. Kind of sounds like the Mavs have not skipped a beat when it comes to scoring runs like they thought they would. Glad to see they're still killing it. Hashtag go Jim's voice. Thank you. Thank you, Jim. Appreciate that.
That'll be the tweet, the text that gets you through.
Think so.
I think so.
9:36, and it's time for this day in sports history.
That's the story of the greatest sport moment in all of history.
It's time to take a trip back in time. It's this day in sports history.
All right, go back to 1977. Marquette tops North Carolina 67-59 for the NCAA basketball title. A couple of legends coaching in that one. Marquette coach Al McGuire against University of North Carolina coach Dean Smith. 1992, Christian Laettner's buzzer beater lifts Duke to the Final Four. Laettner hits a 15-foot turnaround jumper to give Duke the 104-103 overtime win over Kentucky and the fifth consecutive Final Four trip. Also on this day, 2015, Brianna Stewart helps UConn coach Gino Auriemma help him get his 100th NCAA tournament victory. And that was a win over Texas, 101-54. Also, 2016, Utah Jazz beat Kobe Bryant and hand him his worst loss of his career in his farewell season. Utah with Rodney Hood scoring 30 points as Utah hammered the Lakers 123-75. The largest Laker defeat in franchise history. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. More on Mav Day. And up next, Troy Moyer, coach of the CMU men's lacrosse team. We'll have that next for you on the Team Sports Network.
Who do I listen to?
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado Sports Leader.
Whoever suggested that has got to be smoking crack and plenty of it.
Whoa.
The Team. Get in the locker room with Colorado Mesa Sports. This is Mav Day on the team.
Joining us on the program this morning on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, he's got the Mavericks to an 8-2 record coming off their spring break Florida trip with a 2-1 mark. Troy Moyer joins us. Troy, appreciate the time. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
When you go down to Florida every year, it's always, you know, great competition. Number three, University of Tampa that you faced, 20th ranked Florida Tech, and then Palm Beach Atlantic, always really, really good competition. And really those games down in Florida kind of helped to set the stage for maybe a push for the national tournament, but also just a tremendous measuring stick of where your program is. And kind of take us through what you saw from your club going 2-1 down in Florida.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there. Every time we travel back east, especially down to that Florida Sunshine State Conference, play those games, it's always a great, great measuring tool to see exactly where we think we might be in the season, if that really is the facts. And I think, you know, we played well. Unfortunately, the one game I thought we didn't play anything like the team that I know we can be was the Tampa game, and it was our big test. Ran into a team that was prepared for us. You know, they had 10 days to get ready and play against us. With, you know, we had one day off in order to get ready for them, and not to make any excuses, obviously, but I think it just kind of showed. That was the game that we really felt like we couldn't do anything right towards our standard, and was difficult to kind of go through. But again, it was good to get that experience and kind of have that now as we look forward to RMAC play, and like you mentioned, hopefully a run into the NCAAs.
Troy Moyer, coach of the CME men's lacrosse team, with us on the Team Sports Network. I mentioned that you had the rank again, the win against 20th ranked Florida Tech. You get that victory 20-14. How much does that mean for your program to get a win against a ranked team like Florida Tech?
Yeah, that was huge. Not even just because of the rankings, but that was a team we played last year and had lost a one goal game to in a very winnable contest. And so it just felt good. A lot of the guys returning to the team were on that trip last year and knew what that felt like to walk away on the other side of things. And so I think that was a big, big win for us to start off and kind of get back at those guys. And then, like you mentioned, obviously the ranking helps as well. It was good to see, and it kind of solidified that we can play up there with the top in the country, and that's really where we belong.
Maverick men's lacrosse coach Troy Moyer joining us today on the Team Sports Network. A couple of guys played really well down in the Sunshine State for you, Troy. Your redshirt junior attacker, A.J. Switzer, he was the offensive player of the week. He had a sensational game against Palm Beach Atlantic, where he scored 7 points in that game, the most in a single game by an RMAC player this season. And then Trey Cork in the third, defensive player of the week. Take us through those two guys and the games that they had down in Florida, because both came back with the weekly conference honors, both offensively and defensively.
Yeah, you kind of hit on two guys that have pretty much been solid components of our team throughout the year. AJ had a fantastic game against Palm Beach Atlantic, just kind of being out on the field and letting the game come to him, utilizing his teammates, as you saw, you know, 7 points, 3 goals, 4 assists. I think he'd probably tell you more than anyone he's more proud of the assist mark on that, just kind of helping get the team all involved, especially after what he would probably consider not his best game against Tampa the game before. And then Trey Corkin has just been an absolute monster in the middle of the field for us. He plays pretty much all of the wings on our faceoffs and picks up a bunch of ground balls, really just puts pressure. He's tasked 9 times out of 10 with covering the other team's best offensive midfielder, and you know, he goes to work and gets the job done there. And he's just been an absolute motor and just been a real force for us kind of up and down the field. So it's been great. Those guys really have been a huge part of our success.
Troy Moyer, coach of the CME men's lacrosse team, with us today on the Team Sports Network. And now it's conference play starts Saturday, Troy, over Community Hospital Unity Field, when you take on Westminster at 3:00. Westminster team that's played well to start out this season.
Yeah, they're always going to be a solid team. Our main competition in the RMAC, and I know that they're well coached. And you know, obviously they played Tampa on their trip down there and played them to a tighter game than we did. And so, you know, we're looking at it like it's going to be a real test for us. And so, you know, it's great to have like you mentioned, kind of with hopes of possibly going to NCAA play. We need to be able to win these games, and you know, kind of a little bit of a rivalry game for us as well. Glad that we get to start it off at home and finally get a home game here at the beginning of April.
Yeah, they're 3-5 in the season, but they lost a close one to Tampa, 11-10. I mean, they played some good competition, but they've also played that competition tough at times.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I know we're not taking them as any sort of slight competition. The record doesn't necessarily reflect how talented I believe they are. I know that they're young at a couple different positions, and so that probably attributes to some of it, but they're going to come in here and they're going to play us the way they always do. It's going to be a challenging physical game. It's going to be back and forth, and it's going to be a lot of fun to play.
All right, so the RMAC opener for the Maverick lacrosse team this Saturday, 3 o'clock at Community Hospital Unity Field over on campus. Troy, appreciate the time. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Take care. Troy Moyer, the coach of the CMU men's lacrosse team, joining us on the program this morning. You can text or call us 970-242-1340. Jim, along with the Buckeye boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. We'll talk with Chris Hanks coming up in just a moment on the program. It's still time to text or call in today, 970-242-1340. That's 970-242-1340. All right, time to talk a little Maverick baseball with the skipper, Chris Hanks, this morning on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
Talking CMU baseball with Mav skipper Chris Hanks on the team.
And joining us right now, Chris Hanks. Chris, I always appreciate the time. How you doing?
I'm good. Sorry I missed that call earlier.
I'll get over it, Chris. I'll find a way to get over it. I don't know. It won't be easy, but I think maybe my campaign for Julian Boyd to replace you as coach might have to start because you didn't answer a phone call. Julian called a shot. He wants to replace you.
Does he?
Yeah. He says, heck, when Hanks decides to hang him up, forget McKinney, forget anybody else, I want that job.
Well, he'd be a good choice.
Well, he's already stating his intention at some point to replace you as the Maverick skipper, but he also feels like he's learned an awful lot from you, so probably still maybe a spot on the coaching staff somewhere down the road for Julian to kind of get his feet wet, right?
Well, yeah, either way, I think Julian ought to stay in Grand Junction and live here and help in some way, because I don't want that kid to ever leave.
What about him do you love about him as a baseball player?
He's just
and a person.
Perpetually optimistic. He's just got a pure spirit about him. He's very easy to trust. He's a lot of fun to be around. He works very hard. He's very focused. I could go on. And it's interesting because last year, you know, it was such a last-minute deal, him coming here. He drove into town with no place to live with his father just a few days before class, you know, because he was going to go to San Diego State, and that got messed up because of some things. And, you know, he came to town. He didn't talk a whole lot last year. And then this year, he's just completely opened up. Just a joy to be around.
Chris Hanks, coach of the Maverick baseball team, with us on the Team Sports Network. All right, let's get to the big story, which I know you don't feel like it's a big story, but I know guys around the program and those who have covered you, like myself, feel it is. 1,000 wins in your career. You got that Friday in that doubleheader sweep against Colorado Christian. Take us through the emotion of what that was like for you. I know you're a very humble guy, a very even keel guy, Chris, but even for somebody like yourself with your temperament, that had to strike a big chord for you, a big emotional chord.
Yeah, it did. And I'll tell you, mainly, I mean, there were so many people involved in that, obviously, from all our coaches over the years, and particularly the ones that have been here for the longest duration, but all the players that were involved, and then administration here at the school, community people that donate their time, their money, their resources to have supported our program over all the years. It takes a lot of people, and it really, more than anything, it brings back a lot of memories. You know, we had a lot of alumni show up there in Denver, and outside of, you know, that taking place here, Denver was probably the next best place because that's probably the largest concentration of our alumni. You know, a lot of the guys from the 99 team came back. We had one fly in, Burt Nelson from North Carolina. I mean, I mean, he bought a plane ticket and flew from North Carolina to come for one day and to be there. You know, that was really special. And, you know, just thinking back at all the trials, tribulations, the big wins, the heartbreak, I mean, across the gauntlet, there's so much invested by a lot of people. And I think it was just a testament to our program in general and some resiliency, because I think we've been consistent, we've been resilient. Not everything's been rosy. You know, there's been tough losses, tough weekends, tough days, but we're still standing and still battling to be better.
Chris Hanks, coach of the Maverick baseball team, with us on the Team Sports Network, and along with you getting win number 1,000. And, you know, an incredible accomplishment, incredible milestone for you. Also, the most runs scored by a Maverick baseball team ever, 38-1, the win against Cuddleberg Christian. When you get the picked up the four-game series sweep, but you had that Saturday game where you scored 38 runs, that just had to be something to watch from the dugout, to see your bats go out and deliver the way they did in that game.
Well, they did, you know, and initially we did it against, you know, they pitched actually their best pitcher, who's a good kid, in that third game when that happened, and he's had a nice year. I mean, he didn't get out of the first inning. I think we put up 13 runs and they pulled him. He got two outs. And, I mean, you get to a point where you feel a little bit bad for the kid. And then, you know, the guys just had great approaches. And, you know, we weren't trying to do that. We weren't trying to run it up. It really puts you in a dilemma as the game gets late. As you're putting fresh guys in, you can't tell them to not just go up there and take pitches because, you know, they need at-bats. But yeah, it was really interesting to see.
Chris Hanks, coach of the Maverick baseball team, with us on the Team Sports Network. Now it's Regis to start the four-game set over at the Diamond of the Bergman Sports Complex. Regis right now fourth in the conference, 13-13 overall. They're 4-4 in the conference, and they've got one of the better bats. Matt Marlowe is currently third in batting average, hitting .466. So it's a Regis ball club that comes in a pretty good offensive club that you face starting out on Friday.
Yeah, they're more offensive than the two clubs we just faced the last 2 weeks. So, you know, they're tough. You know, they played Metro very tough all four games. They only got one game, but a lot of runs scored in that series over there in Denver. They're well coached. I really like their personnel. I think they're one of the better teams in our conference. So I do think that it's going to be a very good challenge for us. And you know, one of the things we're going to have to do is get our guys recentered, because they're getting a lot of attaboys this week, and we'll try to get that, you know, all straightened out today.
Chris Hanks, coach of the Cuddleberg Mesa baseball team, with us on the Team Sports Network. And, Chris, we've talked about this before, that with all the losses from last year, National Player of the Year Hayden McGeary, Spencer Bramwell, Caleb Farmer, Jordan Stubbings, that you lost a lot of offense. But this team really... In terms of home runs and things like that, it's not quite the same, but it really hasn't missed much of a beat, has it? And you're just discovered so much depth on this ball club that it's had to be, even for you, I think you knew you had good talent, but probably even a little bit of a surprise how good this team has been offensively with those guys you've lost.
Yeah, well, you know, with the departure of last year's group that was so power-oriented, you know, there wasn't a lot of the things we could do other than hit doubles and home runs. And one thing we were excited about coming into this year, that we even talked with the kids about in exit meetings last year after the Super Regional, is that we're going to be able to, we talked about dialing back the clock to 2009 to 14 through 19, when we, you know, really put a heavy emphasis on base running, on the short game. And we could hit home runs, but that wasn't the focus. And we're much more versatile, and I think more difficult to defend, because we have several guys that can steal bases. We have several guys that can bunt. We can hit and run. We can manufacture runs, which for me, you know, late in the season, when you play better clubs, you see better pitching, and you may end up playing down at sea level, those things largely negate the power side of the game. And so you have to be able to do other things. So this team is fun because we can do more.
We'll have coverage of that game on Friday. Ethan Jordan will join me for that one, assuming my voice gets better it's slowly getting better, trending in the right direction to call that game on Friday. Our coverage will start at 5:50, first pitch at 6:05 for the Mavericks taking on Regis. Get your tickets at the CMU Athletics website for that series this weekend at the Diamond at the Bergman Sports Complex. One final thing, Chris, before you go. Did Beadleman make it? Because he said, when we did our podcast, he was going to be there. Was he there to see you get win number 1,000?
Beadle was there live and in person. We even went to that 99 crew. We went to I think it was BJ's Brew House, and had some pizza and a couple of drinks. You know,
well, good.
I've seen those guys, but Beadle was there. I can confirm that.
He got you win number 3, right? That's what he was telling me when we were talking about on the podcast. He got your 3rd win ever.
He did. He did. And as I remember, it was probably a top stepper. We were probably ready to go yank him at any minute.
He's walking the tightrope.
I'm sure he had to pitch himself out of some trouble.
Oh, I'm sure. Probably during the game, and then probably had to talk himself out of some trouble after the game, probably as well, knowing Beadle.
And he was probably in my office Tuesday morning saying, I need more innings, Skip. And, you know, I don't know. I'd have to look back, but that's probably how it went.
Probably how it went, knowing Beadleman. Hey, Chris, once again, I'm thrilled for you, man. Congratulations. And see you on Friday.
Thanks a lot, guys. Bye-bye.
All right, take care. Chris Hanks won 1,000 games in his career.
Mm-hmm.
Despite having Curtis Beadleman pitch for him.
Yeah, he won game number 3 and only game number 3.
But it's more than you or I have. So
that's true.
We have to look at it that way. That's our show for today. Thanks again for joining us. Coming up next, it's Jim Rome. And then don't forget, tonight we'll have NIT semifinal coverage, 4:45 today on the Team Sports Network. Enjoy the rest of your day.